I'd like to pray this morning, and as I do, I'm experiencing a lot of doubt and turmoil right now in my heart as I'm approaching this message. So we're going to pray, and I'm going to really apply what we're going to talk about in the next coming moments. And it's interesting how this works, because as we study the Word of God, it's interesting how things come up that confront you right where you're at, and God is very faithful in giving you what you need for that moment and for that time. Lord, I just want to take some time right now to acknowledge your truth. And Lord, the truth of the matter is that you have established a standard that is holy and pure and good and right. And God, I know that these thoughts, they're unrighteous. These thoughts are not of you. They do not characterize you, God. And I'm calling them what they are, the schemes, the lies, deceptions of the devil. Lord, my flesh is weak. And sometimes I feel so prone to attack. I thank you for your righteousness, that it puts meat on the bones of truth. Your word tells me how to live. It tells me what is right. It tells me how to be pleasing in your sight. And Lord, there's no doubt that I have been called to be in this place, in this time, for this moment. And I know, Lord, that I am doing what is right. God, you have placed me here because there is a message that needs to be proclaimed. And you know, God, it's a message of peace. And you know what? I need your peace right now. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a message of peace. And God, I stand on that peace, knowing that no matter the turmoil in this life, I know that the gospel ministers peace into my heart. I have peace with you. God, because you have justified me through the blood of Jesus Christ, you and I, we're in a relationship, and there's peace there. And God, not only that, I stand here today because there is a message to proclaim to others, and that is a message of peace. And so therefore, God, I stand behind the protection of my faith. All of these things, God, I hold to because I believe you are real, and I believe that you're true. And I believe that your word tells me how to live and that it's right. And so, God, I hold up what I believe. I hold my faith. And your word tells me that I can be confident in it, that I can stand strong in the power of your might, that the darts that are being flung, they're extinguished by my faith, the faith that you have given, the faith that is rooted solidly in you. And so, God, I stand here as your child. I stand here as a saved one. I stand here, God, knowing my salvation is forever. I am assured, Lord, of eternity with you. And so, therefore, I do not fear what man can do unto me, nor what the devil brings my way, because my future is secure. I stand in the faith. I've got a message, Lord, to proclaim. It's righteous, and your standard is truth. And so, God, now take the word. Take the word, and I pray that you would use it in all of our lives today. Use it in my life. I think of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a verse that I've memorized many, many years ago, but it's just trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and you will direct my path. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, God, this is your church. This is your time. This is your word. I pray that you would use it. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 6 is a passage that communicates to us the reality of spiritual battle, spiritual war. We've already spent 2 weeks in this passage in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. But we have yet to touch on the specific aspects of the armor of God. And we've already looked at how in this passage it speaks of the whole armor of God. You are to put that on, believer. Put that on, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so no matter the struggle and how intense it might be, in Jesus Christ we can have the confidence of a firm stance. Praise be to God. Let's read our text again in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 and following. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Believer, there are real rulers that exist with real powers they possess. In real darkness they preside, for real wickedness they promote. And so therefore, the instruction is to stand, and stand in the power of his might. Well, what does that look like? We see the armor as described as the pieces of a Roman soldier's get up for war. There's six different pieces that are described here in this passage. Each piece is linked to an aspect of God's power and presence in a believer. We've read it. It's the truth, righteousness, the preparation of the gospel of peace, the faith, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation. We're going to look at them in the order that they go. It seems as if this might have been the way that a soldier would have dressed himself. And by the verbiage and in the tenses of these verbs, it appears as if Paul's instructing the believer, take and put these on and leave them there. This is where they should be. Put them on. The first is the belt of truth. Now, I believe that Paul linked these aspects of God's power and presence in a believer's life specifically to these pieces of armor for a reason. Now, we may not fully comprehend what that means, what that looks like, why he did that, but we can have some pretty good ideas. The typical armor garment, there would have been a woolen for lack of a better term, a t-shirt that would have been underneath all of the metal that you see there in that figurine. It would have been quite thick, and it would have gone down to about the knees. There would have been a belt that would have gone around to kind of hold that all in and gather everything together. On that belt, you would have attached your sword, and you would have also tied the pieces of armor that would have gone around your rib cage would have all been tied together. The belt would have been a very key piece, because what it did was it brought everything together in unity for the soldier. His sword was there, his armor was attached to it, his woolen t-shirt would have been tied tightly with it, and he would have been able to move around and fight with ease. Now, Paul says, gird your loins with the belt of truth. Your loins gird about with the belt of truth. That is, wrapped with truth. And as I'm studying this, I'm learning new things. Even as this passage that so often we've read before and we have known, there's still new things. Truth. What is truth? Who asked that question? Pilate did, didn't he? He was being confronted with the very King of Kings, Jesus Christ, on the very night that he was betrayed and he was condemned to death and then put on a cross. And Jesus Christ stood before him, and Jesus proclaimed that he was the one. He was the King. He was witness of the truth. And Pilate looked at him and said, "What is truth?" And this was a question that I asked myself. What is being referred to? Why is truth such a crucial part, such a quality that the Apostle Paul is drawing that out? What I came to understand is that truth is a standard. It is the standard. To illustrate it, I could have a ruler. And a ruler stands for what? It's a foot. A yardstick is 3 feet. A ruler is a foot. It's 12 inches. And see, the truth is that standard of what a foot actually is. The believer, you and I, need to realize as we are in this battle that despite all the doubts that may be flying around, all the lies that are being told, all the deceptions that are flying at you, there is a standard. There is truth, and we find that truth given to us in God's Word. We need to realize, and this is so very important because so many people are walking through this world, no idea what truth really is. No idea that there is one standard, and that is God's truth. And believer, as a church, that has to be where we stand. You see, that's going to hold us all together. Understanding that there is one standard. It is God's truth. Truth is the absence of this of deception and lies. And as we're going to see how this truth, it's given meat, it's given flesh by the next piece of armor, which is righteousness. But before we go too far, why is truth so very important? It is the standard, but truth combats Satan's lies and deception. Satan is a liar. Let me say that again. He's a liar. He is a deceiver. This morning, in my own life, as I was preparing just to come up here, and the reason that I was so bothered in my spirit, and still am, in a little way. I was being told, okay, take this for what it's worth, but I was being told that I was a good preacher. I was being told that I've done a good job in the past, and you can do a good job again today. Oh, listen, that is a lie from the pit of hell, and it's dangerous to dwell on it. And I'm coming up here to preach, and that's what's in my mind. That's why it's so terrifying to me to get up here sometimes, because the battle is so intense and it is so real. But what does the truth tell me? The truth tells me who I really am. The truth takes this lie that comes at me and says, says, Josh, you're a good preacher. You know, people think that you're doing okay. And it combats, let me boil that down. For me, that's pride, just so you know. That's a proud heart. And I can't preach with a proud heart. And you see, the truth of the matter is, I am nothing except for what Jesus Christ has done in my life and who he is. And his message is what needs to be heard today, not mine. And so I stand on the truth today, not some lie. I hope you're grateful for the truth. The truth needs to be a regular part of your mind and your thinking. Philippians 4:8 tells us what to dwell on. The first thing in that list is you dwell on truth, believer. Dwell on what's right, what's true. The belt of truth. There's a lot more that can be said on truth. The bottom line is that you need to embrace it in every aspect of your life. You need to train your mind to dwell on it. You need to ask yourself questions like, is this true? Is this true? Is this thought coming at me? This feeling, this thing that I want to do, whatever. Is it true? Now, you might say that's kind of abstract. Well, let's just move a little bit further to the next piece of armor. The breastplate of righteousness. The scripture says, stand therefore, verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And as I wrestled through this list, and I wrestled with these different aspects and qualities of God, I realized something, that yes, truth is the standard. Truth is that what a foot is. But righteousness is what makes up that truth. It's the wood that makes the ruler. It is the wood that actually makes the truth, the foot, able to be used to measure things. I don't know if the illustration's working for you. It worked in my mind, but truth is the standard. Righteousness puts meat and flesh on that standard. Why? Because truth is kind of an abstract thought. What is truth? What is that? It is God's righteousness. Why is that important? Well, as I ask the question, well, what is true? What is true about this thought that's flying at me and bothering me so? Well, I have to compare it to righteousness. Another way you could think about it is if you have a mirror, okay, and you look in the mirror, the mirror is true. And you as a believer, you look in the mirror and God's righteousness should be seen. You should see Jesus Christ in there. You see, God's righteousness is the standard of truth. Does that make sense? God's righteousness is the standard of truth. And so his instruction here, in the midst of the intense battle, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against the wicked spiritual world. Realizing truth, there's a standard. Believer, abide by it. Well, what am I abiding by? It's God's righteousness. The breastplate, of course, is that which covers the vital organs. It was a very important piece because it would protect your life. Righteousness. You see, I'm a simple guy, and I need help understanding sometimes what God desires. And so what God did for me was He gave me His Word, and in His Word He gives me commands, and He gives me instructions, and He gives me descriptions. And He describes for me what He is like, and He describes for me what He expects me to be like. And God is completely righteous. Well, what is righteous? Righteousness is that quality of being pleasing to God, of being acceptable in God's sight. All right, so if that is true, that is God's standard. God's standard is truth. There's a standard that exists. That standard is righteousness. It's His righteousness. So therefore, believer, in the midst of the battle, you know that there is a standard, and what it looks like, it looks like Jesus Christ. It looks like His righteousness. Now here's the incredible thing. Remember, believer, and now we're talking to believers here, you are not righteous in and of yourself. Your righteousness comes from God. And this is why it's so important that you remember that you stand strong in the power of His might. Because the very moment that I try to be righteous in and of myself, that is the moment where I've removed this breastplate. I have disregarded the standard of truth. There is one standard, and that standard is God's righteousness. So as you picture a soldier getting dressed, he's suiting up with, there's one belt, holds everything together. It's the one standard. He puts on this breastplate of righteousness, and he suits up knowing that it's God's righteousness that he is to be living. The next piece of armor is the shoes. And for years, this has confused me, because it doesn't say having your feet shod with the gospel of peace. It doesn't say that, does it? It says more than that. It says your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, with the readiness of the gospel. And this has confused me. I'm like, what does this mean? And here's my understanding of it. You picture a soldier getting ready for battle, and he's bending down, he's putting on his sandals. They would have had thick leather soles. They would have had spikes driven down through them for traction, and then they would have had leather thongs that would have wrapped up and around the foot, and it would have wrapped up around the foot and up around the ankle. This shoe would have provided, the sandal would have provided the firm footing for the soldier in battle. Now, picture the soldier getting dressed. Why is he getting dressed? Because he's going to what? War. He's going to fight. All right, believer, listen. Whether you want to or not, you are in war. You need to be suited up. You're in battle. The soldier suits up, and he's putting on his sandal, and he's tying it on, and as he's tying his sandal on, he is making sure it's extra tight and extra secure. Why? Because all day long in the heat of the battle, he has got to what? Stand. And he's got to stand on those feet. And so his feet are so important. And so here's what I believe this means. The readiness, the preparation, is that, believer, you need to have the mindset that there is more to this life than just you. There is a gospel of peace, that not only is a firm foundation for you to stand on, but it is the purpose for which you fight. Because you go to battle so that others might know the gospel of peace. You can fight and fight well because you know the gospel of peace. And why does it say the gospel of peace? First of all, gospel is good news. Okay, so let's look at it that way. Have your feet shod with the good, with the preparation of the good news of peace. Does that speak? The good news of peace. How about peace? Now think about peace in a war. When you go to battle, what happens? You're going to battle so that you can fight, so that people will know peace once again, so the enemy will be vanquished, so that people can be at peace, so that you can be at peace. But you know what? This battle is so intense, and there is peace in Jesus Christ. And it's because of the good news, the gospel. It says in, Romans chapter 5. Listen to this, believer. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that touch your heart? You have peace with God? So there's a standard, and believer, we need to abide by it. It's truth. What that truth looks like is it's God's righteousness. So in other words, what is truth? Well, truth is living out God's righteousness. You're going to do that with a purpose of living and proclaiming the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace brings hope to the disheartened, and it gives strength to the weary. Believer, listen. For some reason, we in modern Christianity have, in many ways, and I'm guilty of this, we have forgotten the significance of the gospel and its role in our everyday lives, everyday life. The very fact of the good news of Jesus Christ, that he has saved you, that you are righteous in God's sight, that you do know peace today, let your mind dwell on that on a regular basis and see how that affects your daily life, because it will remind you of who you really are: a sinner saved by grace, one in need of God's mercy, one who has known God's love. We have a foundation of the peace afforded us in the gospel. And you picture the soldier as he's fighting. He is maneuvering, he's climbing, he's pushing, he's pulling, and it is all done on these feet that are shod. They're clothed. Your feet are protected in the readiness, the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see, the feet are able to stand because you know the gospel of peace yourself, and the feet are ready to move forward, to advance, because the purpose of fighting is that the gospel of peace might be known throughout the world. Believer, listen. Listen. This battle's intense, and the devil wants to render you insignificant. He wants to wound you. But God says something much different. Stand strong. Stand. As the battle flies around you, you will stand. How? Understanding there's a standard, and that's God's truth. That standard, it looks like the righteousness of God. And so what does that mean in my life? That means my life needs to look like Jesus' life. I need to walk as he walked. I need to live out his righteousness. I move forward and I'm motivated because there's a good news. There has been good news that I have known in my life. I've got peace with God. And there's good news that there are people around me that they need to know. So I fight on. I fight on that God's peace might be known by others. You're here today. Do you know the peace of God in your life? Do you know the peace of God today? Do you realize there is a battle? You know what? I dare say that the church is probably the only ones that realize there's a battle going on. The Bible tells us, and we preach it, because we need to understand the world is out there, slaves, captives. We, in the power of God's might, can fight and fight on and stand strong. This is blessing to my soul because I've felt the intensity of the battle. Have you? Are you? Be encouraged, believer. Be encouraged. We've only covered three pieces. The shield of faith is yet to come. Helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I wish that we could put all these things together, but we're going to stop here, and we'll continue our lesson next time. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you so much for ministering in our hearts. Wow, God, what an adventure this morning has been. And I'm humbled to know your presence. Thank you for truth. Jesus, you yourself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. And God, I believe right now you want individuals to understand the standard, and it is you. Oh God, I pray that hearts would be challenged today. Thank you for the gospel. I'm thankful, Lord, that I've got peace with you and that these people, they know good news. Help us to fight on. Help us to stand strong. And we can, Lord, in the power of your might. Amen.